This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونستعين ونستغفر ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له أما بعد. Exactly 99 years ago, on the 3rd of March 1924, the Caliphate was abolished. Exactly 99 years ago was the last time that this Ummah had a Khalifa. And this is a very important and significant turning point in our history that we tend not to study enough and to not think about enough. And for many youngsters, you know, when they think about the Caliphate, about the Khilafah system, they think about something that existed 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago, unaware of the fact that in the time of our own great-great-grandparents, there was a Khalifa, right? That it's just been 99 years without one. And what I want us to do today is just to have a brief recap of what was the Ottoman Empire, why did it fall, and what can we learn from that? Now, just a disclaimer, I can't do justice to this topic in a khutbah. You know, in my history course, it took me about 2 to 3 hours to explain this event because there's a lot of moving factors to think about. There's a lot of different things that happen at that time that you need to keep in mind to truly understand what happened with the downfall of the Khilafah. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through what I believe are the most important points for us to understand why the Khilafah fell and what the Khilafah was. And if I miss out on anything, again, it's not on purpose. It's just that there's too much to cover in a short period of time. So, many people might not be aware of what the Khalifa was and why it's important. A Khalifa means a successor. And essentially, this was a succession of rulership where the Ummah had someone who they looked up to as their main leader. Starting with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was called Khalifatul Rasulullah, the successor of the Prophet of Allah, of the Messenger of Allah. And this Khilafat system went on almost unbroken, with a few exceptions, for 1,300 years. So for 1,300 years, we had some kind of a Khilafat. We had the Rashidin, the rightly guided Sahaba who ruled over us in the early years. There was the Umayyads, the Abbasids, the Mamluks, and then the Ottomans. Now, it was never perfect, except in the time of the Khulafa Rashidin, but it was something. It was something that gave the Ummah a sense of power. It gave them central leadership. It kept the enemies out of Muslim lands. And it gave Muslims freedom to travel and live anywhere in the Muslim world. In the time of the Khilafat, you didn't need a passport or visa to move to any Muslim land. If you are Muslim, you have freedom to live anywhere in the Muslim world. Right? So there were a lot of benefits to it, even at its worst of moments. And yes, the Khilafat was very human. There were good Khalifas, there were bad Khalifas. There were times where 2 or 3 people were claiming to be Khalifa at the same time. There were times where the Ummah was divided into 3 or 4 different Khilafats, right? But there always was something. There was always something. And as long as there was a Khalifa, the enemies of Islam were kept out of the Muslim land. The last of these Khilafats was the Ottomans. And the Ottomans were unique because all of the early Khilafats were Qurayshi. They were Arabs from the tribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Ottomans were Turks. Right? And right till today, there's a group of Muslims who claim they weren't real Khalifas because the Khalifa has to be from the Quraysh. But technically, they were the Khalifas for a period of time. And what happened was, there's 2 main events in our history to remember as the most tragic events that brutalized this Ummah. One was the Mongol invasion 800 years ago. The other was World War I, which we're going to talk about today. So when the Mongols invaded, the Abbasid Khilafat collapsed. And some Turkish tribes, they rallied together and they fought against the Mongols and they established a small little community. And that community grew and grew over time until it became the Ottoman Empire. So it wasn't established overnight. It took a long time to become an empire. But once it reached its full power, the Ottoman Empire essentially became the shield of the Muslim world against outside invaders. Just to give you an example, about 150 years ago, the Zionists reformed. And the Zionists wanted to take over Jerusalem and make it the Jewish homeland. And it was impossible for them to do so because Palestine was part of the Ottoman Empire. And as long as there was an Ottoman Empire, there could not be a Jewish homeland. There could not be a Zionist state. So the existence of the Ottoman Empire, and by the way, at that time, the Ottoman Empire was at its weakest. But even at its weakest, it was able to prevent the formation of Israel. Even at its weakest. So that shows how important this system was. So what happened? How did it fall? Well, number one, understand that every empire rises and falls. No empire lasts forever. Not even the Khulafa Rashidin, right? Doesn't matter how pious we are, doesn't matter how on the truth we are, every empire has its end. And the Ottoman Empire's end was directly linked to World War I. Now, when we think of World War I, we think of a European war that has nothing to do with Islam. But really, this is the event that shaped our history right until today. World War I was essentially a war in Europe between the various empires that existed in Europe at that time. And it was a very different world from what we know today. For example, on one side in World War I was the British and the Russians fighting together as allies. The British, the Americans, and the Russians were allies in World War I. Because Russia back then was a Christian empire. It's not the Russia we think of today, right? It was a Christian empire. And it was on that side. On the other side was the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, which doesn't exist anymore because of World War I, and the German Empire, which was much bigger than what we call Germany today. And it just so happened that when this war started between Russia and Germany, which expanded into Russia and their allies against Germany and their allies, at that point in time, the Ottomans were the allies of Germany. Right? The Ottomans were the allies of Germany. And they were the enemies of Russia. Again, another point of our history that many of us don't know is that Russia, the Christian Russia of the past, and the Ottomans were at war with each other for 300 years. If you look at the lands that we call the Balkans, those lands were, they moved from being Ottoman lands to Russian lands, to being Ottoman lands, to being Russian lands many times in those 300 years. That those two empires were fighting over that part of the world. At times it was part of the Ottoman Empire, at times it was part of the Russian Empire. In fact, a lot of what we call Russia today was Ottoman Empire at one point. It was all Ottoman lands at one point. And that's where the Muslims of Russia are the descendants of those Muslims who were part of the Ottoman Empire. So you have on one hand, we have Europe, so we have what we call the Allied powers, right? Britain, France, Russia, and later on America joins them as well. And the other side, you have Germany, the Austrian-Hungary Empire, and we have the Ottomans. So the Ottomans come into this war, basically being dragged into it. It's not their war. It's a war between Russia and Germany. But World War I is one of the most brutal wars in the history of this world, where millions of people died. And where for the first time in history, we see actual modern technology used to kill people. Right, where cities were bombed and chemicals were used and all kinds of chaos took place. And the British were very angry with the Ottomans for siding against them. And they launched a plot to completely destabilize the Ottoman Empire. And this plot is, on one hand, if you actually just analyze it unbiasedly, it's a very genius move. Right? Their plot against the Muslims was very genius strategically. But for us, it's very tragic because it worked against us. But as far as the battle strategy goes, it's a genius strategy. And what the British did is, they essentially turned the Muslims against each other. They turned the Muslims against each other by poisoning the Arabs against the Turks. So there was a man called T.E. Lawrence. Many of you know him as Lawrence of Arabia, right? He was a spy sent by the British to turn the Arabs against the Ottomans. Where they promised that you can take over these lands. This was the British promise. The British promise was, if you Arabs ally with us against the Ottomans, we will give you the Khilafat. That instead of having a Turkish Khilafat, we'll go back to having a Quraishi Arab Khilafat. And the leader of Makkah and Medina at that time was a descendant of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who wanted to be the Khalifa. So they played on this, and they poisoned him against the Turks, and they caused uprisings on the inside, that the Arabs now began to attack the railway system and destabilize the Ottoman Empire from the inside. And they did this with two separate Arab tribes, the descendants of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who they told that you'll be the next Khalifa, and the Saudi tribe. And who were the Saudi tribe? The Saudi tribe had been at war with the Ottomans for 200 years. For 200 years, there was a back and forth war between this tribe and the Ottomans. They kept taking over lands in Arabia and the Ottomans kept taking it back. So they had their own vendetta against the Ottomans. And now here comes the British telling them that if you help us against the Ottomans, we'll give you these lands. Many people don't know that Saudi Arabia is actually the third Saudi state. It's the third time the Saudis are in power. Because twice during the Ottoman era, they formed states and the Ottomans defeated them and took it back. So there's a lot of history going on here. So the British form a very brilliant strategy where they basically destabilize the Ottoman Empire from the inside. On top of that, to one of the most wealthiest men in Europe who was manufacturing the chemicals they needed for their bombs was a Zionist. And they made a deal with him. And their deal was, if he gives them these bombs, these chemicals to attack the Muslim world, then they'll give the Zionists Jerusalem. They'll give them Palestine. Now remember, in the time of the Ottomans, it was impossible for the Zionists to establish Israel. But now by allying with the British, they could do so. So all of these things are happening at the same time. By the way, this is just 100 years ago, right? We're not talking about ancient history, literally just 100 years ago. And it all comes exactly as the British want. They destabilize the Muslim world. They take over the Muslim lands. You know, 100 years ago, the French and the British conquered the Muslim world. And they took over the Muslim lands. And they divided it however they wanted. I said that, you know, 100 years ago, there was no such thing as India and Pakistan. It was one land. There was no such thing as Lebanon and Jordan and Palestine and Syria. It was one land. Right? This is all the work of post-World War I, where the Muslim world was divided. And these divisions cause us to sometimes even hate each other. That people from India and Pakistan don't like each other. People from, you know, Syria and Lebanon see each other as different nationalities. But this is all very recent. This isn't our actual history. Before this, there was a sense of ummah. Before this, there was a Muslim ummah. Yes, it had maybe three or four kingdoms running at the same time, but there still was a sense of ummah, that we are one ummah. It's not like different nationalities that don't like each other because they're born on a different side of a border. So the British conquered the Muslim lands, and World War I was very significant as being the end of the Age of Empires. This is really what World War I was. It was the end of the Age of Empires. The German Empire collapsed. The Austrian-Hungarian Empire collapsed. The British Empire, even though they won, they technically collapsed. Right? Because the British Empire was never as strong again as it was before World War I. Before World War I, India, South Africa, and many other countries were part of the British Empire. It was the largest empire in the world. By the time World War I was over, a lot of these lands had become independent. And many more would become independent over the next 30 years. So the British Empire was beginning to fall apart as well, right? And for us, the tragedy for us is that the Ottoman Empire collapsed. And what happened was with the Ottomans was that the British took over all the Muslim lands besides Turkey. Besides Turkey. So Turkey remained independent of the British and French rule. But the plot twist is the people now ruling Turkey were not practicing righteous Muslims. They were the secular Turks who wanted to secularize Turkey. And one of the first things they did, exactly 99 years ago, on the 3rd of March, 1924, they abolished the Khilafat. They said, for us to be a secular country, we can't have a Khilafat system. So they abolished the Khilafat to secularize their land. And many Muslims back then hoped that, okay, the Turks are abolishing the Khilafat, maybe the Saudis will claim to be Khalifa. Or maybe the descendants of the Prophet will claim to be Khalifa. But being the allies of the British, they didn't dare say a word. And so there was no Khalifa. And for the first time in Muslim history, we are living through a 99-year period. Now it's 99-year period without a Khalifa. The results of this has been devastating. Absolutely devastating on the Ummah. The rise of Israel, the oppression of the Palestinians, the destabilization of the economies of the Muslim world, the ease with which people can invade Muslim countries and harm them, the scattering of Muslims across the globe, losing our sense of ummah, all of this is a result of World War I that we are still feeling today. And the saddest thing of all, 99 years later, we still don't have a solution. If people ask today, like, how do we reestablish the Khilafat? I don't know. We don't have a plan. We don't have a solution. We haven't figured it out yet. But it's important for us to know what happened and how we reached where we are, so we can learn lessons from history and so we can appreciate what we had. Because that's really one of the reasons why the Ottoman Empire fell. Muslims didn't appreciate what they had. When you read the lives of Muslims in the last 300 years of the Ottoman Empire, there was a sense of complacency. And, you know, we Muslims, nothing's ever going to happen to us. So people were drinking alcohol and committing zina and just living life how they wanted. There was like a no care about the fact that Allah can take this power away from us. Because we had reached a level that Muslims began to think, yeah, we Muslims, we are Muslim Empire. Allah's not going to let the kuffar defeat us, right? No matter what we do. And that was a way of thinking that many people had at that time. And Allah took it away. And that's a lesson for us. That's a lesson that we can learn from. That victory isn't guaranteed just because you are a Muslim. You have to play your part as well. So we ask Allah to revive this Ummah again and to re-establish for us the political power of this of Islam, and to help us to continue growing as Muslims and to practice Islam properly. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير حديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. It's quite strange that the last official call for jihad from a Khalifa was a call to fight in World War One. Many people don't realize this, but when the Ottoman Empire rallied the troops to fight World War One, it was a call for jihad. And we know that the Khalifa has the right to call for jihad. And yet that was the event that led to the Ummah falling from its political power. But I want us to focus on lessons. What can we learn from this? What can we learn from the downfall of the Ottoman Empire? Number one, we learn that power and authority is entirely in the hands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran that He gives the kingdom to whom He wants, and He takes it away from whom He wants, and in His hands is all goodness. Allah gives power, Allah takes power away. But whatever Allah wills is best for us. And this is something as Muslims we need to come to terms with, that whatever Allah wills is best for us. Meaning even the downfall of the Ottoman Empire, some good came out of that, or will come out of that, that we don't realize or don't understand. But it may be in the long run what is best for this Ummah. Only Allah knows the long-term plan of how everything's going to play out. But understand that leadership is a gift from Allah. He gives it to people and He takes it away from people. And anyone who's ever been put into power is only because Allah has allowed it. And so even the situation we are in today, it is by the will of Allah and it is the qadr of Allah. Another lesson we can take from the Ottomans is that we should never assume just because the truth is on our side, we will always be victorious. You have to play your role. You have to put in your effort. You have to do the work, right? Some people feel like, oh, because we're Muslims, we definitely will win. But they don't do the strategies. They don't do the groundwork. They don't build up the resources. It's just thinking that we win by miracles. You don't rely on miracles. Miracles are a last second thing that might happen. But it's not what you rely on. Rely on working hard and then putting your tawakkul in Allah. But another lesson I want us to learn from the fall of the Ottoman Empire is to understand that even in the biggest of tragedies, there is always khair. Even in the biggest of hardships that hits this Ummah, there is always good that comes out of it. And I want us to reflect on two benefits that this Ummah got out of losing our Khilafat. We're not saying that losing the Khilafat is a good thing, we want it back. But maybe we needed to go through this period to wake up. Right? Maybe we needed to go through this period for the Muslims to become what Allah wants us to become. And I would say because of the downfall of the Khilafat and this period that the Ummah has gone through over the past 99 years, two good things came out of this. Number one, the spread of Islam in non-Muslim lands. You see, before that, the world was divided into Darul Islam and Darul Harb. And Islam didn't always spread in Darul Harb. But today, Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in the USA, in the UK, in Australia. And this is all actually a result of World War One. Because in the aftermath of World War One, because of political and economic problems in Muslim lands, Muslims began migrating to these lands, right? Now, I don't agree with the idea of migrating to these lands, but we're already here, right? I still think it's better for Muslims to live in Muslim lands. But then, in the Qadr of Allah, Muslims began migrating to these lands. And the good that came out of this, there is bad that came out of it as well, but the good that came out of this is that masjids were established in these lands. And Islamic centers were established in these lands. And dawah began to be done in these lands. And Islam began to spread in these lands. And people who would have never have heard the message of Islam, had you been living in any other era, the message of Islam reached them directly. And today we have people converting to Islam every day in these different parts of the world. And maybe this was what Allah wanted. Perhaps this is the qadr of Allah that we are seeing at play. That for Islam to spread into the non-Muslim lands, our power had to be destabilized first. That something bad led to something good. That today Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. To an extent that non-Muslims have said that by 2050 or latest 2070, Muslims will be the majority. Right? That's how fast we're growing. And this is a miracle for us because we lost the Khilafat and then became the fastest growing religion in the world. How does that work? We lost political power, our lands became weak, and because of that we grew faster. That there's now more Muslims than ever before in history. But there's the other side to it, another benefit to this that we don't think about. Perhaps the reason why we lost the Ottoman Empire is because this was the kick in the pants that we needed to wake up. That the Ummah needed to lose power for us to wake up. Because what we are living through now, alhamdulillah, in this generation, is a global revival of Islam on almost every level. Look around the world today. We are seeing an intellectual revival of Islam. We are seeing a spiritual revival of Islam. We are seeing in many Muslim lands an economic revival of Islam. I think the only thing left is the political revival of Islam. That we are actually living through a period of revival. And if you don't think about it, just think about what our community was like 30 or 40 years ago. Or even 60 or 70 years ago. And see how far along we have come. You know, that there was a time in this community where many Muslims didn't even know that gambling is haram or that hijab is wajib. You know, we didn't know these things because the knowledge wasn't available. Yet today we are having high-level academic discourses about Islam because, you know, we have access to knowledge that wasn't available 20 or 30 years ago. We are producing, you know, people of knowledge on a caliber that didn't exist in the past. And we see this even in the Muslim lands. We know that, you know, they tried so hard to secularize Turkey, yet Islam is on the rise in Turkey once again. We see Islam on the rise in Malaysia. We see Islam on the rise in many Arab countries. That people are waking up with the younger generation. They are taking their religion seriously. There is a spiritual awakening. There is an intellectual awakening. Muslim economies are becoming strong again. That there are many Muslim economies in the world today that are growing and developing. That 20 or 30 years ago, we wouldn't have looked at and think there'd be anybody, but they're getting there. There is revival happening. And perhaps this was the qadr of Allah, that we had to fall so we could rise up again. Otherwise, we might have just stayed stagnant. And Allah wants to bring out the best in us. And this is on the individual level, this is what happens. On the individual level, Allah tests us so we can become the best versions of ourselves. So maybe this is what's happening on a collective level. That Allah took away the Muslim power so Muslims can again become the best versions of themselves and worthy of that power. So let us have hope. And let us be optimistic about the future. That yes, we don't have a Khalifa. And yes, we don't know the roadmap to having a Khalifa. We don't know the way back. But Allah is in control of everything. Allah gives power to whom He wills. And we are living through a revival of Islam. So perhaps the next stage of that revival will be a political revival. And perhaps in our lifetime or in the lifetime of our children, there will be a Khilafat established again. And Muslim power will be revived again. And let us cling to this hope and not be doom and gloom type of people, but be people who are optimistic about the future. That the future belongs to Islam. And the future belongs to Muslims. And we can play our role in this. We can play our role in this by being the best Muslims we can be. We can play our role in this in reviving Islam economically, by reviving Islam academically, by reviving Islam spiritually. And maybe from amongst our descendants will come people who revive Islam politically. We ask Allah to allow us to re-establish Islam in this world and to make it once again the dominant force on earth. We ask Allah to protect and help all the Muslims in the world who are oppressed, and to remove the oppressors from power and to replace them with righteous leaders. And we ask Allah to assist all of the Muslims who are going through difficulties in these lands, those who are affected by the earthquakes, those who are affected by tyranny and by civil wars. We ask Allah to end their trials. اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اقيم الصلاه